What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Good morning, millennials, and welcome back to The Toast. Happy Thursday. Hope everyone's having a great day. It's a great day. Jax is back in studio wearing a cardigan that I gave to her that apparently she doesn't hate.
It's a cardigan. Yes, she gave me this cardigan in the second wave. The second wave of cardigans.
That one's giving like college professor at a New England Ivy League.
Oh, no. They're not nearly this fabulous turdy.
No, but it's giving like older gentlemen.
I think it's giving student. I think it's giving college student as an
perhaps it's giving TA England. On the track to professor.
No.
It's a little collegiate. Collegiate.
For sure. In the student category, I think.
Okay. I mean, it's mine. It's not insulting if it's mine, but you look great.
Thanks. And you're giving like 2018 toast.
What do you mean 2018? It's right here.
No, I know. But like, I just feel like I'm used to looking at this every day. But when I see the print in action, I'm like, Those were the days.
Forgive me for trying to create synergy, as this is from one of our sponsors today that I will be discussing in the latter half of the show.
But so, it's like if you were to stand in front of the wall, you'll disappear.
Because I'm so tiny.
It's because you're so tiny.
Yeah. Today's Thursday. It's our last in-studio episode of the week. Tomorrow's episode is audio only. Kind of our version of a summer Friday, if you will.
It is, because it's a holiday weekend, and the sweater's also giving a little July 4th.
A little, yes, it is.
A little red, white, and blue.
Ah, the best weekend of the year. And today, this year falls on a Tuesday, which is interesting.
Yeah, because they have to give us like 12 days off.
Right, they have no choice.
So there's like, if you have a summer Friday, a lot of people work from home on Friday, so you get like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
But you're not going to go into work on Monday when July 4th is Tuesday.
What a waste.
But then next year, very interesting. I think the best possible day for the working woman that July 4th could fall on is a Wednesday, because either you go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, you could do the back half or the front half.
For sure, but like everyone kind of has to be in agreement on what we're going to do.
We'll figure it out next year.
I'm leaning towards Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I would agree.
And then also that means you get a little of the Tuesday before, July 4th Eve.
Nobody's working on the July 4th Eve. It's interesting. It sucks when a holiday falls on like a Saturday.
Ugh.
It's so not worth it.
But
that'll happen in like 5 years.
Yeah, but you know what? There's 2/7 of times where it falls on the weekend and 5/7 of times
there's 2/7. But kind of 3/7, because it falls on a Friday. It's not like amazing. It's just Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I could talk endlessly about holidays. Like, add it to Claudia's list of favorite things.
I wonder if there's like a committee or a department in government that like
decides
holiday logistics.
I think it's us. Like, the way we talk about it, we should be paid for our time.
We spent so much time thinking about it.
I feel like literally everyone with a job does. Like, they're always thinking about what holiday's coming up and like how to maximize the time off.
Yeah. I think that's why Thanksgiving's such a great holiday, because it's like a dedicated day.
And it's always Thursday.
And you know you're getting 4 days plus a little Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And you can count on that.
And Thanksgiving, I mean, let's keep talking about holidays. Thanksgiving is just an amazing holiday. Like, I don't have one complaint about Thanksgiving. I love the time of year. I love the aesthetic. It's like very autumnal folklore vibes. I love Thanksgiving. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I agree. So I guess you could say like a holiday falling on a Thursday is good too.
Yeah, you could say that.
So Friday's the only dicey day.
Saturday and Sunday too. That sucks. Like, imagine if Thanksgiving was on a Saturday and like it just wasn't special. No. I'd like to meet the man and shake his hand who decided Thursdays would be, I think it's because Thanksgiving, Thursday, we're thankful
throwback Thursday Thanksgiving.
I think it was kind of like a branding thing, which I love.
An alliteration.
I wouldn't mind if it was Wanksgiving, though. Because then we'd get Wednesday off, too.
Yeah.
And Tuesday night, you know? Oh. And while we're at it, Thanksgiving.
What about Manksgiving?
It wouldn't work because then we'd only have Monday off.
And we have so many holidays like that, so, which are nice, Memorial Day.
Right, but they're
not complaining.
But they're no Wanksgiving.
They're no Thanksgiving either.
No, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, but it's funny how they don't like have a federal holiday that's always on a Wednesday.
Right. And maybe if everybody started celebrating Wanksgiving, we could talk about it. But
maybe,
we can't.
Maybe Friendsgiving could become
but that's
an official holiday.
But we're already off. Oh, it's the Friday before. No, Thanksgivings are always the week, like the Thursday before. People do it like the week before.
Oh, is there really that much?
Hoopla?
And
rules.
Yeah, like.
Yeah, there is. It's people
structure.
Take.
Structure.
People take Friendsgiving really seriously. Maybe I'm just bitter because like I don't have any friends. But
Friendsgiving
like,
is giving Galentine's. Sadness.
Friendsgiving is giving Galentine's.
And I'm good. As much as I want more holidays, I don't want those.
No, I completely agree. Don't invite me to your gal's 10 times. Galentine's birthday. Birthday. I can't talk.
But don't invite her to your Galentine's birthday.
Don't. My birthday is coming up. I haven't even really like been speaking about it. I'm so mature.
You haven't been speaking on it?
No,
do you want to come on here today to talk about it?
No, but speaking of people who like came on to talk about, do we have a story today about Colleen?
No, because
I like it.
No, because it's like just so it's confusing.
Deep, it's deep internet
and
culture.
I am not versed enough in her history and then like all the stuff that's happening now. I've seen some things. I've read some articles. You've sent me some videos. But I still, not enough for me to like form an opinion about this person. I don't know her.
No, same. I don't really know what the backstory is. But all I know is that Colleen, who does like Miranda Sings, she's like an OG YouTuber, is like found herself in like some sort of scandal. And as YouTubers do, they went online to make a video about it. And she took a different approach. It definitely feels like something I might do, where she sat down with a ukulele and sang her apology / non-apology.
It wasn't an apology. She was addressing things.
Right. And it was truly one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. It was like a 10-minute song. And she was also like acting, and then she like stopped, but then she started again. And I commend her because, you know, the apology addressing video, it's a tale as old as time. It's almost formulaic at this point where it doesn't feel like the person is really, like they're just doing it to do it.
They're a hostage.
Right.
In a crisis.
So I commend her for taking a different route. If it didn't send a chill of cringe down my spine, I would commend her more.
But I think, I like the approach that she took, one, because she's trying something new.
It's different.
It's different. And two, because it's a pretty smart tactic. It's very distracting. Yeah. And now we're just talking about like
the cringe.
What a weird video, not what she did.
That's actually very
allegedly.
True. That's very true.
So I like it.
Because why?
I like it.
And I like that we have a great show today. We didn't do Dear Toasters yesterday because we had a guest and I just wanted the guests to be able to like, you know, speak their truth.
Yeah.
And so we have Dear Toasters today. We've got great stories. And it's just like a gorgeous Thursday. Except on my way to work today, I walked and there was all this like a kerfuffle on the corner. And I was like, what is going on?
You always find yourself in a kerfuffle.
I know. I'm kind of like a woman of the streets.
You're
you know?
Like the Forrest Gump of kerfuffles.
100%. I run towards drama and there were all these people and there were fire trucks. And then I turned the corner and I saw that Tiffany's, the iconic Fifth Avenue location, the flagship store, which has been under renovation for like 3 years and just reopened like their new fancy facility, was literally in flames. There was like tons of fire trucks, smoke pouring out everywhere. Everyone was standing around filming. So yeah, sorry to them. Hope everyone's okay.
I hope everyone's okay.
But like, my God, they
did
literally
you see flames?
Just, no, actually.
Just smoke.
But they did open a restaurant in the new, they redid the whole thing, revamped it. It took many years, and now they have a restaurant.
Blue Box Cafe.
I have to imagine that perhaps it started in the restaurant.
That's a good theory.
Unless anyone was just like striking matches in the jewelry display section.
Maybe someone lit a cigarette.
Well, you heard it here first. Tiffany is ablaze.
Yeah, they're still working on it.
Oh, you when you got?
Yeah, I was rerouted. That took me forever to get here.
Crazy times, New
and
York.
I couldn't like get out and walk.
Because of the smoke.
Because I'm not like in walking
form.
100%. So.
Crazy. You heard it here first. Woman on the streets. I got interviews with everyone.
And what were they saying? Did you get the cause?
No, everyone was really standing around filming. Like it was
so ridiculous.
It is, but like I was too. And no. I felt like so dumb.
How long did you stay there to film?
Ten seconds.
Okay, then that's fine.
It's like the kind of thing I'm like, oh my God, everyone was filming. And then I was like, damn, wait, the people need to know, gotta film. But like, I have an audience of people. Like, I'm different.
You have a duty.
I do have a duty because I had coffee for breakfast.
You have a duty to do.
I have a duty to do Daru, which is what we're about to do Daru.
How is do Daru?
Theo's doing well, really doing well. Putting the family on his back, being a ray of sunshine. It takes its toll.
It does, but he handles it with such grace, you would never know the pressures that he's under.
You would never know what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, I saw him yesterday.
I saw Bruno yesterday.
And he was looking fine as ever.
Yeah, those walks, when he goes out on his walks, that's like me time for Theo. Like, he recharges his battery so that he can continue to give and give and give, and we can continue to take and take and take.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's the cycle of life.
It's beautiful.
Should we dive in?
I guess so. Stories are, there's a lot to know today, but it's like, I don't know that it's going to be like hot take central. You know what I mean? That's what I mean. They're stories.
Well, I haven't heard them yet, so I'll see what I can come up with.
No, you'll see. You'll see. It's just like news, you know?
Yeah.
So without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that are news that you need to know.
And today's episode is brought to you by Mattress Firm. Mattress Firm has a huge selection of mattresses from America's top brands at every price point. Mattress Firm has their own brand of mattresses and accessories, also called Sleepies, so that you know when you're going into a Mattress Firm, like, you're getting the best of the best, creme de la creme, top tier.
What does that mean, though, when you say creme de la creme?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. It actually means cream.
Okay.
It's very confusing.
Cream of the cream?
Cream of the cream. Okay. Cream of the crop, actually, I think it means. So the sleep experts from Mattress Firm tapped into their over 200 hours of training and experience, helped millions of customers get the rest that they need by creating a best-selling line of mattresses, pillows, bedding, and protectors. I just got new pillows from Mattress Firm, from their sleep experts. Pillows are very personal, and that's why it's like nice to talk to somebody, an expert. Because Ben, also, we can't just get one pillow for the whole bed. Ben likes soft, I like more firm. We have different needs. Ben likes to sleep with one pillow, I like to sleep with two. So the Sleepy's Coconut Bliss pillow has tons of features that help give you a great night's rest. The aromatherapy and gentle fragrance have made this pillow a customer favorite. They have memory foam to conform to your head and neck for proper alignment, for relaxing pressure relief, and a soothing support. Also, they have more airflow, so if you love the cold side of a pillow, this one is for you. Sleeping on the right pillow and mattress is so important, and waking up well rested makes everything more clear. So Mattress Firm is just the place for everything bed. Everyone knows that. They're the best of the best. And the right mattress matters. Find yours with Mattress Firm's July 4th sale, which is happening right now. Shop in store or online at mattressfirm.com. I mean, we love holidays for so many reasons. And one of them is the sales. And honestly, Mattress Firm has a couple really good sales a year. That's where I got my mattress like 4 years ago. And the July 4th sale is not to be missed. Today's episode is also brought to you by The Perfect Bar. The original refrigerated protein bar that you know we love. If you haven't heard, Perfect Bar just launched a new line of protein bars called Perfect Bar Layers. Perfect Bar Layers are a new line of crispy protein bars stacked with delicious layers and made with whole food nutrition. They're made with crispy base of peanut and cashew butter, layered with dark chocolate or 100% real fruit, and then they're sprinkled with toasted gluten-free oats. They're packed with up to 11 grams of protein, and they come in two delicious flavors. The first is crispy peanut butter and chocolate, and the second is crispy peanut butter and berry, which is basically like a healthy peanut butter and jelly. Because they're made with whole food ingredients, they're a classic blend of 20 organic superfoods, and they contain no artificial preservatives, Perfect Bar Layers are stored in the fridge, so you could say that these bars are stacked and packed. If you aren't convinced already, they're also non-GMO Project Verified, they're gluten-free, soy-free, kosher, and low GI. The best part is that you can now find them in the refrigerated section at Targets nationwide. You know we love a Perfect Bar, we keep them here at the studio, I keep them at my house, Ben loves them. Throw them in your purse, and when you like crash in the middle of the day, you'll get a bar that's delicious, that keeps you full, it's full of protein. It's just always good to have on hand. They also know that it'll be love at first bite with the Perfect Bar, so they're offering you a chance to try their new refrigerated protein bars for free. Here's how it works. Sign up for email or text, upload a picture of your receipt from your local grocery store, and they'll reimburse you for the cost of one bar. It'll go directly into your Venmo or your PayPal account, which is pretty cool. All you have to do is go to perfectsnacks.com/toast to get that free Perfect Bar today. That's perfectsnacks.com/toast to get a free Perfect Bar today. Happy snacking.
Thank you, Claudia.
You're welcome.
Also, not to get sidetracked, because I know the stories are waiting for us, but you had your book club last night.
I did. It was a great success. It was so, I drove, you know, I've been talking about that for like
and
weeks.
And how were the dynamics in the car?
Well, they were really good until Abe got in the car and we realized he was so quiet, and I turn around and he's reading because he didn't finish the book, which is like a big no-no. You know, come on, like, finish the book. And I understand it was 700 pages. And if I can finish it, anyone can.
That's true. Also, just reading in a car is a crazy thing to do.
I read in cars.
I could never. I wish I could. I'd be so much more well-read.
Yeah, I read it like all the time in cars.
And I mean, you could have put on the audio tape for him and could have all listened.
Why? Like, we had to do it. You have to do it. You know, it was every man for themselves.
Yeah, but how did the book go over?
Oh, the book went over. The group was divided.
Mixed reviews.
Well, we were operating on a smaller book club. Two of our members couldn't come. So 5 out of 7. And 3 of us loved. 2 of us did not like. Which sparked interesting debate.
Yeah.
But something crazy happened. We went to the suburbs. One of our members lives in New Jersey. We crossed interstate lines. And the craziest thing happened. So we all left. Me and Abe are like close to the car in the driveway. And Margo and Rachel are like saying goodbye to Raquel, whose house it was. Like, so they're like in the yard. I would say there's about 20 feet between us. And literally, it's pitch black, right behind Rachel and Margo, probably 3 feet behind them, the biggest deer you've ever seen in your life, but it was behind them. They didn't know. I literally, you know when you're so like freaked, you can't say, I'm like, Margo, Rachel, like I couldn't speak, deer. And they turn around and the deer is chilling, like not, you know, deer are supposed to be afraid of human. No, they're walking, he's getting closer.
Yeah.
Margo and Rachel are beelining. They made it to the car safely. No one seemed like as like scared as I was, and I wasn't even in imminent danger, which is so crazy.
So dirty.
And then I ended up having a nightmare about a lion near Olivia's house who was like obsessed with me and kept like breaking into their house to like cuddle with me. It was definitely connected to the deer incident.
For sure, but maybe like sprinkled with a bit of Theo's subconscious.
Yeah, actually the way the lion kind of circled and then plopped down on my legs was Theo to a T.
Giving Theo.
Yeah, but I was pretty scarred.
So what you're saying is the deer run this town.
Yeah, well in New Jersey. In New York, the rats run this town. I guess in New Jersey, the deer run this town.
It doesn't sound so bad.
It was kind of a beautiful deer.
Yeah.
But it was just like this huge animal. It was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. So much drama. The book club is always causing drama.
Don't they always?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, kind what? Of like the point of a book club. I feel like people join a book club, they think it's like, you know, a nice social, wholesome social activity. But like book clubs, they're just also looking for a bit of drama.
I feel like it's really the whole point.
Yeah.
It's our book club doesn't have like actual drama, but I'm always trying to find an angle, you know?
Yeah. Well, you should choose a book that would be really divisive.
Yeah, find like the weak spot of the book club and exploit it.
Yeah.
I just, really why I love my book club is because I always eat good. Last night we had like such a good home cooked meal. We had spaghetti, we had salmon, we had potatoes.
So when you have it at your place, what do you guys eat?
So actually, I haven't hosted yet. Everyone loves to host. It's not like, oh, who's hosting this month? That's why we call ourselves the Bala Busta Book Club, because we're all like real homemakers, except for me. So there's never been like, oh, damn, where are we going to do it this month? You know, next month we've got 2 people fighting.
Oh.
Natalie wants to do it and Abe wants to do it. So until there's like a drought, then I'll be like, okay, I'll do it. But so far, it's not slim pickings.
What would you cook? Would you have Ben prepare something?
Maybe it depends. It depends on like where I'm at that week, like busy wise. Either I'd have Ben cook, I would have like a caterer, or I would just order in kosher food.
Okay, yeah. I thought you were gonna say, or you would try and cook.
Fuck no. It's like literally not even an option.
No,
I would have like pre-prepared from like a Park East or like a kosher grocer.
Yeah,
no, I'm not cooking.
Beautiful.
But so far nobody's asked.
Okay.
I also love the book club because it gives me such good fodder for the podcast.
Totally. That's like the Redheads. New episode drops next week.
I feel really like it's been so long since there's been a Redheads.
It has been because the first Thursday of July is like July 6th, I think, because maybe the first day is like a Wednesday. Mm. That happens sometimes and it's really nice. We get a lot of extra time. And we recorded our June episode a week early because of Memorial Day. So we literally had like 6 weeks in between episodes. I've never read so many books. We always share at the end like how many books we read in the off season. I've never had this many. Like I'm a little embarrassed. There's
no,
so many.
We do that in our book club too. It's like what at the end, we're like, what else did everyone read this month? I read 8 books this month.
Oh my, I read 9.
It's crazy.
Also, those fucking Freda McFadden sneak up on you.
She's also so quick.
Yeah, like I have 3 Freda McFaddens.
Yeah.
What can you do?
Nothing.
So let's get into the stories.
Let's.
The top story of the day is that Madonna was rushed to the hospital.
Yes.
She's been intubated in the ICU after being found unresponsive.
Now, what does intubated mean? Like in a tube? Oh, a tube.
Yeah, like she's held breathing.
Oh, man. Yeah. I was thinking like a hyperbaric chamber.
No, no.
Oh, a tube.
Intubated, that's like what they put COVID patients on.
Right, like respirator vibes?
Vibes, but I think it's more for the lungs.
Damn.
Yeah.
And did they say why?
There's like some things going on. Her manager had said that she developed a serious bacterial infection, which led to a several day stay in the ICU. I saw a headline that she's been rehearsing for her tour. She had like 12 days of like nonstop
going
and practicing and whatnot. But to be intubated, that sounds like the exhaustion.
Right. You get like dehydration. You go for like you can go to the hospital, but it's not like ICU.
Right. And she was found unresponsive.
Damn.
And then taken to the hospital. So it sounds very serious.
It does. But also they obviously kept this under wraps because she's like now it's not like, I feel like sometimes we get the news. It's like Madonna found unresponsive and then we wait days to hear what happened.
Yeah.
Like she was able to keep this private and then her manager was able to tell everyone when they were sort of out of the woods.
Yeah. Cause it was Saturday that she was rushed to the hospital.
Oh, and today's what? Thursday. So.
Yeah. So she's now out of the ICU, but she's still under medical care and a full recovery is expected.
I wonder if she'll still go on tour.
It depends what happened. Like what actually happened.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's more to the story than what they feel comfortable sharing, and that's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really scary.
Quick question about speaking about tours. Do we have Lizzo as a story today?
No. Something's got cut. There are stories on the cutting room floor today.
I do quickly want to talk about it. Did you see what happened with Lizzo?
I saw a headline, but
Lizzo
I didn't
went to see Beyonce, and then she like, of course, was like so like obsessed. She went on her Instagram or her TikTok and made like a couple of videos just about how amazing it was. And the real key message of what she had said was like, what Beyonce's doing is so like incomprehensible. And she's not even going to be like appreciated in her own time, like years and years in the future. Like we will be able to really understand what Beyonce was doing. Like the most popular thing right now pales in comparison to Beyonce's tour. And it did feel, you know, very pointed because Beyonce and Taylor are really on the same tour right now. They're playing the same venues in the same countries at the same level with the same amount of people. But Taylor's tour has really overtaken the narrative. I don't really see like a ton of stories or chatter about Beyonce's tour. It's like they're both equally as impressive, but something about Taylor's tour has just gotten, you know, the media and the fans talking more. And so it felt like what Lizzo was saying was definitely like a little bit of a slight at Taylor, the most popular person right now, like won't even compare to what we all really, when we all finally understand what Beyonce's doing. So it felt pointed.
Did she say what Beyonce's doing or just
she was
what
speaking Beyonce's vaguely. Doing? Yeah. She was speaking vaguely.
Okay.
And then I do believe she had to end up deactivating her Twitter because the Swifties came after her. And, you know, the Swifties can be deeply unwell. Mm-hmm. And they were, like, you know, being inappropriate about, like, her body. And I think it got, like, racist. So it was an interesting saga. I think the conversation, though, like, I actually do think that Lizzo doesn't like Taylor Swift because there's, like, been one other time. She was on Live with SZA and Taylor came up. And it was right after the Grammys. And SZA was like kind of gushing about Taylor because Taylor's like a big fan of SZA. And I think Taylor like beelined for SZA at the Grammys to like, you know, fawn over her. And Lizzo just like stayed quiet, like literally just stayed quiet.
That's so interesting. And I do feel like if they did get along, there would be examples that we could cite of like, you know, them
interacting.
But you know what? Not everyone has to get along.
Agreed.
And in real life, a lot of people don't get along. So when celebrities are like so phony, like they get along with everyone, like...
It's phony.
So I'm totally fine with them not getting along. It does feel like a pointed message. But I also feel like Taylor is doing all the things that she's doing. And of course, people are obsessed with her. But she also like knows how to like
market
and drive headlines and everything. Like even the two different songs. Mm-hmm.
It's a marketing thing.
Yeah, it's marketing. And that's what she does. And like. They're just different. Like her and Beyonce are just different people. Like Beyonce's just like doing her show.
Also, Beyonce started her tour internationally and Taylor started her tour in America. And then they're literally going to swap. Like next year is when Beyonce comes
sure
to America.
We'll be hearing all about Beyonce's tour and like all the people that you follow are going to Beyonce's tour.
And all the celebrities are going to be going.
Right.
I think they're going to swap in terms. And I'm sure it was done on purpose. Like I'm sure Taylor knew that Beyonce was planning a tour and Beyonce knew that Taylor was planning a tour and they probably had to like fight for dates. So one of them choosing to start internationally was clearly like a decision.
Yeah.
So I just think it's interesting.
And like when Taylor's international, like, I don't think we'll be talking about like every single secret song and all the guests and everything.
So while I think the Swifties like really need to calm down, like I do wonder like what Lizzo's thing with Taylor is.
Yeah.
Cause that like live stream with her and SZA, like she was literally, she just shut, like SZA was saying, did I say Lizzo?
I know, but you almost did.
SZA was just like gushing over Taylor and Lizzo did not move.
That's funny.
Or respond.
Interesting factoid.
Yeah.
Are you ready for our next story? A little more medical news. Ooh. Pete Davidson is in rehab, but is expected out pretty soon. So Pete Davidson has checked into treatment. People has confirmed a source close to the SNL alum tells People he's in rehab, but he should be getting out pretty soon. He's said to be receiving inpatient therapy to address issues related to post-traumatic stress disorder and his prior borderline personality disorder diagnosis, according to the initial report by Page Six. A source close to him said Pete will often check himself into rehab to work on these issues. His friends and family have been supportive during this time. He's been very open about his mental health struggles. And we've reported he's had some not great
moments
and
the car crash
behavior recently. So I think this comes at
the voicemail.
What voicemail?
That he left for PETA.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was funny, but it was unhinged.
Mostly the car crash was just
bizarre.
Very bizarre. So I'm glad he's getting the help that he needs. It seems like he goes to rehab. Like, it's like a tune-up for him.
And yeah.
It's something that he'll constantly have to
keep
up with. Because it did seem like he was not in his best place.
Yeah, but it also feels like for the last few weeks, like, since the PETA thing, he's been very quiet. So, like, him getting treatment, like, makes sense timeline-wise.
Yeah.
If he's almost done.
Yeah, I don't know how long treatment.
Me neither. But wishing him well. I wonder if him and Chase Suey Wonders are still together.
I think that they are. This article still calls her his girlfriend.
And they've been together for like a long time.
Yeah.
And she's not the typical girl like he's been seen with back to back over the last few years. He always went with someone like older, more famous, kind of buzzy. And she, I think they worked on something together. She's not like crazy famous at all.
Yeah.
And I think they're probably really well suited for each other. They're both like low key.
Well, I don't know her very well, but I hope that she's a good influence on him. Yeah. I don't know what she does in her personal life.
So true. That's so true. Good call.
So wishing him well.
Everyone is, you know, fallen ill.
I know.
That's what the stories are.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Are you ready for our next story?
Oh, you don't have a hot take on Pete going to rehab?
No.
I don't think he needs it.
That I do think that he needs it, or I think he doesn't need it.
You think that he should stay spiraling?
No.
Is that your hot take?
No, oh, no. Okay. That's, I've said, like, I'm glad he's catching it before it gets, like, there was obviously some erratic behavior happening, and now he's getting help.
Yeah, I'm
happy for him.
No hot take?
No hot take. I support him.
You do?
As a person. Like, yeah. I want the best for him.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, yeah.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Which is some really sweet family news because John Legend has shared a photo with his four kids after Chrissy Teigen revealed yesterday that they welcomed secretly another baby via surrogate.
By the way, the story was so confusing to me at first because I'm like, yeah, we know she just had a baby.
I got like people notification, Chrissy Teigen welcomes a new child. I'm like,
We know people.
We know. So Chrissy Teigen had a baby 5 months ago. And then I guess just this week, they welcomed a baby via surrogate on June 19th. Okay, so 10 days ago, named Ren, a son. And then they still have their two older children. So now
Miles, Luna. What was the Esty, third? Cute.
And Ren.
Cute.
So family of four now.
And she put like a whole statement on her Instagram explaining like they had, after she lost her baby, they did a surrogate and it didn't take. She wanted twins. She really always wanted four kids and it didn't take. But then she did IVF. Like there was a million things going on at once and two things actually happened to stick. And I think that like they loved this surrogate that they had met. And I think their baby is... middle name is actually for the surrogate, Ren Alexandra or Alexander.
And then the surrogate's name is Alexandra.
Which is really sweet. So that's so nice for them.
So nice for them. And you know what? I had an interesting thought because Chrissy has a 5 month old and I think she's breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder if she'll be able to breastfeed the new baby. Oh,
for sure.
How nice is that?
That is nice. Like little life hack.
Yeah.
That, by the way, definitely. If she wants... Oh, did she say she's breastfeeding?
No, I didn't see anything about it. I was just, like, thinking about it. Because also, like, there's this photo of her breastfeeding Esty.
Oh, so
and Esty's 5 months. I don't know how old the baby is here. Not 5 months.
Right, but if she is still breastfeeding, she can. I'm sure she thought about
it's
that.
It's called tandem feeding.
That's insane. When you got insane.
A kid on each breast.
A kid on each titty?
Uh-huh.
Damn. If you were still breastfeeding Harry, which you're not, but like some people do go, what is he, 15 months?
16, yeah.
Like some people do. You know, we all saw Game of Thrones. So would you tandem?
What do you mean? Oh.
If Harry was still breastfeeding?
So, well, it's also complicated to breastfeed during a pregnancy. Like,
oh, is it?
Yeah. Typically, like you can do it and people do it. And I have no, like if you're doing it, I think that's awesome. But some doctors recommend like stopping at a certain point. Because it can, like, induce labor.
Oh.
To, you know. Some people actually, like, will use their breast pump if they're trying to go into labor. Oh. Like, it's, like, one of the things, you know, like, walking, induce, spicy food, sex.
Having sex,
like,
yeah.
Doing that.
Interesting. I mean, Harry's teeth are literally the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. They're so fucking sharp.
Yeah.
One time he accidentally bit me. I swear to God, I had to go to the hospital. Like, their fangs. I would not let that near your nipple.
Yeah. So would I tandem feed? Like at the same time? Probably not. Logistically, it would be too hard, especially with like a newborn. They're so like
tiny and Harry's enormous.
Right. And maybe I would like do it once to like just
try it
as a new experience. But also Harry being as old as he is, he would probably, if he were still breastfeeding, would only be like once or twice a day. Mm-hmm. Whereas the baby would be eating like 8 times a day. Right. So it's just like,
it's not going to work.
No, I'm okay. That's like when you have twins, that's what you do.
Right. You know, the twins is the dream for me. Even though I know like the year, maybe 2 years like after, like would be the worst, like the hardest. And I was thinking like, okay, do you need two different nurseries when you have twins? Because like what if one of them wakes up and starts crying and then the other one wakes up?
Yeah. So no, you don't need two different nurseries. I do wonder about them waking each other up, but like you have to remember like they've been together for 10 months. Like to separate them, it's giving three identical strangers.
But you can't put two twins in the same bassinet or the same crib?
I think I don't know how people sleep, how the twins actually sleep, but like I've seen photos on Instagram of like two twins in the crib napping.
Right, like this town is big enough for the two of them.
But it might just be like because it looks nice and it sounds nice. But
right, but like the American Pediatric Association says right. No.
I think you do wind up getting like two bassinets. Uh-huh. And then when they're bigger, you get two cribs. But maybe like they hang out in the same bassinet because you want that warmth of your twin.
I used to like, I think like when I was a kid and I was like very self-absorbed, I used to think like being a twin was the worst thing that could have, like if I was a twin, like I would not be okay. Like sharing everything, sharing the spotlight. But now as an adult who like is going to have children, one, it's awesome for the mom. And two, like what's better?
Than having like a
built-in best friend. Yeah. Like two of my best friends, one who's in the book club, Anna doesn't read, but Rachel does. They're like best friends. They live in the same building. They like are, one of them has a baby, another one's having a baby. Like it's so, they work together. Like what's better?
Sounds like us.
It does sound like us.
So I feel like you've had a lot of the twin experience. And I do feel like if you were an actual twin, like a born twin, like you wouldn't, you
couldn't see it the way.
No, not at all. You couldn't possibly be as like lively as you are.
Yeah.
Like because you would,
you share
more so like balancing off another person.
Yeah. I just think like every new life experience would be so much easier.
Not that that came off as saying like twins aren't lively, but like, you know, like
I know
like,
what you mean.
You know what I mean? Like yeah, you would always be a half.
Yeah. Of a unit.
Of a unit.
Which has enormous benefits.
Yes.
Like going to a new school, starting camp. Like you have a friend. Like you're not like feeling awkward.
Yeah. And it's that's also on a another level. Because it's also like siblings. I felt that way so many times, like with Olivia.
Yeah, but like even with you and Olivia, like starting a new camp or starting a new school, like you're different grades.
Yes. No, when we started a new school, we were different grades. That was actually hard. But when we started a new camp, we just like requested each other on our like, you know, when they say,
and they put
you
in the same bunk.
Do you know anyone? And so I was like, Olivia. And they put us in the same bunk, which was crazy because we're not the same age. Did people
think you were twins?
Yes. Before we came to camp, they were like, oh, the two Asha girls that are in the same bunk, like they're
probably twins.
Yeah. And we were not. Mm-hmm. But it worked out nice.
Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah.
I still want to have twins. I'll take quintuplets.
Okay, but I've been sending you, I get like,
I know.
Oh, did you see what I sent you about that?
Yeah,
woman?
Like the actual stomach.
No, and then also like the after effects. Like it's really hard. It moves all your organs and like your abdominal wall. And that woman that I sent you, she was in a lot of pain.
Damn.
Years later.
Oh.
And then she wasn't, I forget where she was from, but her captions weren't in English. And so I was reading them via Translate.
And it didn't translate as it should?
I didn't understand everything. But she said, like, there's a surgery for it. But, like, sometimes the surgery, like, it's still painful.
Damn. Like, nobody talks about that.
Yeah. She was going to be on, like, if she was, like, Swedish or something, she was going to be on a TV program about it.
How exciting.
Yeah.
First time I was ever on television was on a Swedish TV program.
It sounds like they have great programming.
Sounds like they do. Interesting stuff.
Anyways, congratulations to the legend Tegan family. Oh, yeah,
that's really nice. It's so crazy how, like, literally in a few months, you go from being a family of three to a family of five.
In a few months, you go from being a family of... Oh, sorry, yeah. I thought you meant kids-wise. No, family... Two to four.
No, sorry, family of four to a family of six. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm happy for them.
That's crazy to have a sibling that would be 5 years, 5 months younger than you.
Oh, you're in the same grade, but you're not twins.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
They would call that Irish twins, but this is not Irish twins.
What's Irish twins?
When they would be from the same gestational carrier, same mother.
Uh-huh.
But they do have the same mother. But, like, getting pregnant and then getting pregnant, like, immediately after having two kids within 1 year.
Okay, that's not the same.
And not the same as this.
This is crazy. Like, they're going to be in the same grade and everything, but they won't be twins.
Yeah, that's crazy. But, like, if you gave birth and then, like, say a month later got pregnant again. Right. And then, like...
That I know.
That's Irish yeah. twins.
I get it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Bravo is planning a Vanderpump Rules spinoff with Jax, Kristen, and Brittany, says a report. So Bravo is reportedly working on a Vanderpump Rules spinoff. According to a Deadline report published on Wednesday, the new show is said to include former cast members Jax Taylor, Brittany Cartwright, and Kristen Doty. While deals have yet not been confirmed, The Owl reported that the new reality series will feature an 8-episode season.
That's so little.
Yeah, I guess it's a test.
Yeah, I mean, I think people have been talking about this for so long. There was, before everyone got fired, there was, like, a lot of rumors about Valley Village becoming its own show and everyone having kids, maybe, like, all the moms being on one show. And I do think with the new, like, kind of renaissance of Vanderpump Rules, the more content, the better. But I do think this particular show, like, really needs Stassi.
Yeah. Do you talk to her about it a little bit?
Like on the toast, I don't think that I did. I talked about her return to reality right. TV.
And she said it depends on the show.
Yeah. I asked her if it was completely off the table and she said no. Like she does miss it. And she's so like built for it. And she still has this huge fan base. And I don't know if that means like her own show, but I do think like this would probably be a good return for her. And there is like drama there, like between her, yeah. Jax and Brittany and her and Bo. We like never really got a lot of Bo, and Bo's such like an integral part of her podcast and her tour and her fans love him. So I actually feel like this is probably like the right move for her, but I don't know if she'll do it.
Yeah, I agree with
especially now that. They have like all have kids. They need like this show sounds good, but they need more.
Of course, it can't just be the three of them. I'm sure they're trying to get other people who we know and then maybe some people that we don't
yeah, know like yet. New of friends of theirs who have maybe also like have kids and live in the Valley.
Yeah, and then like do you think that, I guess Sheena and Lala at one point might have like jumped ship.
At now, one point, yes, but no. Even though like Lala's so close to like Stassi and I think she's close with Brittany too.
Yeah.
Lala really like does fit on this new format.
Yeah, but no. Now
but no, you would never leave. If they didn't leave the sinking ship, they're certainly not going to leave, you know, the Royal Caribbean.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. And we knew this was coming, and I think...
There's been so many, like, rumors about this over the years, even before, you know, Scandal, and then just... But there's so many rumors about Vanderpump Rules in general that I don't really pay much mind to them.
I think what had happened was, like, before COVID and before everyone got fired and they were, like, working with, like, Charlie and the new girls, they did think about making this spinoff show for, like, all the married, older, like, OG castmates. Then when everyone got fired, I think it was, like, whatever. And then with the renaissance of Vanderpump Rules with Scandal, they were like, wait, look how many people were tuning into these podcasts with Jax, Brittany, Stassi, Kristen. Like, there was so much fanfare and hype for them that now it makes sense to bring the... Like, I think the idea has always been there, and it's been on the table, then off the table. Now I think it's back on the table.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Me too.
Like, say what you want about Jax, but that man is made for television.
And also now all of these people are watching old seasons of Vanderpump Rules right. for the first time.
Right.
Like, they're falling in love with Stassi mm-hmm. and Kristen and Brittany. You know, just feeling really passionate about these characters. Like, there's an audience for them.
That's so true. Now it's like the second wave.
Yeah.
I think it's good. I would watch it.
100%. Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Yeah.
It's a little submersible update. It's been a few days since we've had one, but presumed human remains have been recovered from the Titan sub wreckage, the Coast Guard says. So crews have recovered presumed human remains while searching through the wreckage of the Titan submersible, according to the U.S. Coast Guard. Medical professionals will conduct a formal analysis of what is believed to be human remains that were carefully recovered within the wreckage at the site of the incident, the Coast Guard said in a news release. The Coast Guard also said that the Marine Board of Investigation intends to transport the evidence aboard a U.S. Coast Guard and cutter to a port in the U.S. where they'll be able to facilitate further analysis and testing.
Yeah, they got like paparazzi footage of them like loading out all the different pieces of the submersible. And I have to imagine, like, it was sealed. So even when it, like, combusts, there's probably, like, body parts in there, no?
Yeah. I didn't... When they announced, like, that they had found, like, debris on the ocean floor and that the thing imploded, like, I did not imagine that the pieces big would chunks. Be this big.
Yeah, well, at first they said it, like, exploded, whatever. But then, like, I saw a bunch of experts being, like, because of the pressure, it actually probably... like compounded, like I don't know what the right word
like
is.
Folded into itself.
Folded into like shrunk almost like yeah. So and everyone would have just like instantly been poof. So that tracks with what I saw. But no, yeah. Like, I don't think it exploded like to bits.
I was thinking to bits. Got and it. For me, like the word debris, like we have things had conversations like, yeah. Of what debris means, but to me it meant bits.
Yeah, like shrapnel.
Yeah, like. And then it's like, how do you even recover that right. On the ocean floor? So, yeah, this like, I mean, I'm sure this will bring some more peace to the families to, like, have their remains found and give a proper burial, right. Perhaps.
I can't really imagine, like, what condition
people's
bodies are in.
No, but, like...
It brings peace. It's
like, and closure.
Right, like, you can, like, physically lay someone to rest.
Yeah.
So sad. Like, this whole... saga. Mm-hmm. I guess it really did end in one of the better possibilities, like they were dead, but all of the ways that they could have died or maybe we never even found out, like of all the ways, like this is one of the better ones, like in terms of like peace of mind.
Yes,
but it's like the saddest thing.
Yeah.
Oh, and I saw this morning that the company Titan plans on like continuing these sort of excavations.
Will there be any changes?
I'm sure, but I can't imagine a singular person would go now, like knowing what we all know.
Yeah.
Like, I imagine that the people who went this time and all previous times, like, really imagined it was a safe excursion. But, like, now we know it's not. So anybody going has that understanding. Like, this was so sad because these people went on what they thought was, like, a routine, totally safe. People had done it before. Made it even scarier. But like now we all know. So if anyone's going, like first of all, what are you doing? And second of all, like you know now.
Yeah.
Like you have the knowledge of you might not come back because other people haven't.
Yeah, but I think for some thrill seekers and adventurers and explorers, that's always a risk.
Yeah.
But they
But I didn't feel like this particular group of people was like thrill seeking. You know, they were like older.
Not necessarily thrill seeking, but explorers is the right word.
I guess. They were just like businessmen.
No, but like Hamish had done adventures like this before.
Hmm.
I think the father.
And son.
Not the son, but the father and then the French naval expert were both really big Titanic fanatics.
Right. Damn.
And then the son was supporting his dad.
Yeah. Terrible.
Really terrible.
Well.
But glad to have some closure.
Yeah, it's like a wrap on that.
Yeah.
Should we do Dear Toasters?
Let us.
Well, Dear Toasters is brought to you first by Fashion Pass, which is actually where my romper is from today. Even though Jackie said it's giving 2018.
2018 toast.
I think it's giving like cute summer girly swirly with a knack for style. That's what I think.
And a great tan.
So we have been, thank you. We have been Fashion Pass girlies for years. And if there was ever a time to sign up for Fashion Pass, this is it. We know you have a million weddings, vacations, activities this summer. And Fashion Pass is perfect for that. So it's a rental service where you get unlimited clothing rentals where you can swap out your pieces as many times a month as you want. So you know you're only going to wear that dress once to a wedding or you'll think about those vacation outfits once you get your picture, you're done. And that's what Fashion Pass is for. They have all the best brands like Good American, For Love and Lemons, Beck and Bridge, Show Me Your Moo Moo. These are all pieces that retail for between $200 and $600. So when you're renting, you're getting an insane value. You save so much money because you're not buying clothes all the time. We are both on the Trendsetter plan. So we get 4 clothing items per order and we can switch out as often as we want. It's not like we have to wait till the end of the month to return it, which can be really annoying. The shipping is super fast. They take care of the dry cleaning. Everything is done for you, so you just send it back in the pre-labeled bag, and when you're done, you can choose new items. It couldn't be easier, and the best part is that if you find something you really love and you want to keep it, you can buy it directly from Fashion Plus, which is more sustainable, but it's also on sale because you're buying it directly from them, so it can be anywhere from 30 to 60% off. We, of course, have a discount code for you. It is the best discount they are offering, and you're not going to want to go anywhere else to shop. If you go to fashionpass.com/toast, you can use code TOAST at checkout, where you'll get $40 off your first month, so you can try it for just literally $49. That's unlimited rentals for just $49 with code TOAST. Today's episode is also brought to you by Impossible Foods. So it is hot grill summer. We're cooking, we're making burgers, dogs, whatever it is that you want. And Impossible Foods wants you and your grill to join them in making meat history. So as you guys may or may not know, Jax especially is a big Impossible girly. Impossible beef is delicious. It tastes like beef, and historically speaking, beef is delicious. But the fun thing about Impossible beef is that it's made from plants. So it has zero animal hormones, it has 19 grams of protein per serving, and it's better for the planet. So With July 4th coming up, I feel like everybody's getting ready for a barbecue season. And whether you are a vegetarian, a vegan, we are kosher, or you just, you know, eat more sustainably and you don't want, you know, animal hormones in your food and you want to help preserve the planet, there's a million reasons to try Impossible Foods. Their meat, quote, meats are so good, perfect for July 4th.
Your guests won't even know the difference if you want to prank them.
It's so true. Your guests won't even know the difference. So you can start making meat history today. Just head over to the meat aisle at your local grocery store, grab some Impossible beef or patties, and you can get grilling. Grilling season is upon us. Like, treat yourself, treat the planet, treat everyone, and shop Impossible Foods. I love their Impossible beef. And I actually recently had on an airplane an Impossible beef burrito that was absolutely delicious. Me and Margo scarfed the whole thing down.
Interesting.
I know, isn't that?
That does sound good.
Oh, wait, no, I can't close the iPad. It's Dear Toasters time. Our weekly advice segment where we give advice to the girlies in need, the girlies going through work troubles, boyfriend troubles, body troubles, whatever it is. You could submit two ways now. We have two different ways of submitting submissions for Dear Toasters. The first is if you go to thetoastpodcast.com, scroll down, there's a submission box. It's completely anonymous. Or you can email deartoasters@gmail.com. Two different ways. All right, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Dear Jackson Claude, every Sunday, my husband and his 70-year-old best friend go on long bike rides. Post bike ride, my husband makes his friend breakfast at our home. Breakfast usually lasts about 2 hours. Here's my issue. During the breakfast portion of their Sundays, the 70-year-old is walking around my house and eating breakfast with his shirt off, wearing only small, tight biking shorts. I've explained to my husband that it's really disgusting, and neither one of us knows how to approach a situation without hurting the elderly man's feelings. Any advice would be wonderful. So I have to imagine that his shirt is sweaty, right? That's why he took it off. So why doesn't your husband just offer him an old t-shirt?
But maybe he's also sweaty and like wants to dry off.
No, I get it. But like the thing is, like, you're really never going to change a 70-year-old's habits.
And you can't. And you, it's honestly disrespectful to try.
Hot take. Yeah. She said she wasn't going to have many hot takes, but she does.
I said that's a story.
Yeah.
Like at 70 years old, like,
you have to let them be.
Earn the right to do things the way that he wants. I do feel for you because this would bother me as well. Could they eat outside, perhaps?
That's nice. Do you have a patio or a balcony?
Some al fresco dining. And then in the winter, he'll be so cold, he'll put it on the jacket.
Okay, so that's a good option. Suggest eating outside. I also don't think it would hurt to be like, hey, I'm going to grab a clean shirt. Want one? You know, yeah. Like ask.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
That is a crazy thing to do. I'm not saying this is like...
It's something only a 70-year-old can get away with.
Yeah.
And it's gross, like chest hair, like it's gross. We're eating, sweat, we're in the kitchen.
He's just worked out and then you're sitting on my chair. Like, trust me, I'm with
you. We empathize. But at some point, like 70-year-olds are going to do their thing and like you really can't change their habits. You know, they are who they are at this point.
Yeah.
That's really a perk of getting older. People stop asking so much of you because you're old.
You are who you are.
Right. Try these two options. And if it doesn't work, like let go and let God. Like it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they should start going out for breakfast.
Love that. Alfresco dining has potential. Depends where do you live.
Yeah.
You writing in from Alaska, you know? Or Arizona?
Both have alfresco dining.
Alaska?
Yeah, in the summer.
Right, but Arizona, you could eat outside year round. But I have to imagine if they were like, if they had like an outdoor setup, like this wouldn't have been, you know, this would have been an option months ago.
Yeah.
But try. Just try. All right, ready?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, girlies. So I invited my single friend out to go to a concert with my husband and a group of our friends. We are all close with one of the couples in the group. Our daughters are best friends with them. We see them every week for play dates. But long story short, the wife of this couple couldn't get into the concert because she was too drunk. So her husband sent her home in an Uber, and her husband still went to the concert. He ended up fucking my single friend by the end of the night on my couch. Then they proceeded to meet up for breakfast the next day. The following Monday. What would you guys do? Should I tell my friend, aka the wife? Should I keep this to myself? Should I move on?
Oh my God.
I just want to say, like, I know it's not the point here, but like, if I was ever too drunk to get somewhere and Ben sent me home, like, bitch, take me home. You're not sending me in a random Uber.
Clearly this couple is not in the most stable place. Relationship right now. But I have like a, you know, typically like you mind your own business, whatever. But like, really, if this were you, like think about it.
Let me think of like, okay, I have a single friend. Got it.
And you have a couple friend. Your kid. Okay.
Okay.
Like they're not your best friends, but like they're in your life.
Yep. I'm picturing it.
And the girl went home drunk and the husband hooked up with your friend. What would you do?
I guess in this situation, my allegiance is to my friend, right? Like couple friends are different than like a friend. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But like a friend who would do this, like I don't want a friend like that, honestly.
Yeah, no, it's deplorable. I don't know. I don't know.
The thing is though, I feel like their relationship is not in a great place. And like, maybe she doesn't know that they cheat.
Right. Like maybe they have an arrangement. Because, like, he's kind of brazen going for breakfast on Monday.
And like, yeah, you don't just, like, meet a girl at a concert and, like, hook up with her on your friend's couch in plain view for the first time of having an affair.
Right, like, when everyone knows, like, you're not really doing a good job of keeping a secret, it's like you don't really have a lot to lose. So either, therefore, your relationship is in a really bad place or you have some sort of arrangement.
So would you tell the friend?
Fuck, I don't know. I think I would force the husband, who I know as a couple friend, be like, you tell your wife, because if you don't, I will. And honestly, that might be a bluff, but like you just have to, like it's his problem. Like he shit the bed and why are you cleaning it up?
I think what I would do in practice, like really trying to put myself in the situation is like I would try and talk to the wife and get a better understanding of like their relationship. Maybe get her to
Maybe that's between them and she's not going to share it with you and that's not indicative of what's actually going on.
No, but like I might poke around first, see what this information might do. Would it be new news?
So it's like a hot potato. Like you don't want it. Like give it to someone else.
Yeah. But I feel like if it were me, I wouldn't be close enough with the husband to be like, you go tell her.
But you know what? Like you have to be assertive. Like you're now in this shit situation. Your single friend, she don't give a fuck. Like it's not her relationship. It's really on the husband.
Of course it is. But it, like, he also had an affair. Like, why are we expecting
decency? Maybe, okay, maybe you tell your husband, Toaster, tell your husband to talk to the husband who cheated. Say, you got to tell your wife or else my wife will.
Okay.
I think that's good.
Okay.
It's horrible, especially with the situation I'm thinking in my mind. Yeah. And none of these people would do it. I swear, like, none of these people, the single girl in my mind who I thought is, like, one of my best friends from middle school, I would never think she would, but I just needed, like, a person, you know?
Yeah.
And this couple love each other. They would never get there. But putting myself in the situation, it's no bueno.
No, I really feel for you.
Me too. But I don't think this is one of the situations where you can do nothing. Because if they found out, if the wife found out that you knew, oh my God, like you look like an asshole.
No, and also like you have to put yourself in her situation. Like, would you want to, like everyone knows this information except for her. I would want someone to tell
me. Right, you look stupid with everyone just like talking about it and not telling you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
So I would want someone to tell me for sure.
Okay. Here's our third and final. Hey, Jackson Turdy, obsessed with both of you beyond. I've never laughed as much, so much listening to your podcast and truly feel like y'all are my friends while I'm working from home.
Oh my God, thanks.
Here's my dilemma. I've been at my job for a little over a year. When I took this job, I really wanted the opportunity, but my boss told me during my final interview that she was nervous to hire me because I haven't stayed at a job longer than 2 years. This was my third job out of college. I'm in my mid-20s. I told her just that I'm young. I'd been working my way up in the industry, taking new opportunities as they come to learn as much as possible. I did end up getting the job, but I've been waiting over a year at this new job now. I've been waiting for it to become exciting to me. I feel very bored, not stimulated. I was just offered a new job that is such an amazing opportunity in my industry. It has a 20% pay increase from my current role. I really want to take the new opportunity, but I'm nervous for future employers thinking that I can't stay at a job for too long. I don't want it to reflect poorly on my resume. I really want to take this new opportunity, but I need your thoughts / validation on taking the new opportunities. As such established businesswomen, what are your thoughts on this? Is it bad to like hop around jobs? Obviously, 3, 4, 5 months are bad, but like a year?
Yeah, I didn't feel like that was such a red flag, but I do, yeah, if you're hiring.
But you know what? Her boss ended up being right.
I actually was going to say that. Like, I feel like she's a little bit right, and so are you. But if you're hiring someone and you see they only stay at a job for like 1, 2 years, even though that feels like a long time, it's like, I don't want to be hiring again for this position in 2 years. Like, I want someone who's like going to grow with the company. Now, since you already have another job lined up, like, I would say go and take it. Because if you didn't have a job, I would say don't leave your job and look for a job. Because, yeah, the 2 years, the 1 year. And it does sound a little bit like, admittedly, you're always looking for like the next shiny big thing.
Yeah, you're not easily stimulated.
And it is a job, like a job, and it's not always going to be exciting. Mm-hmm. And you thought this last opportunity a year ago was going to be the opportunity, and now you have another one. And I see maybe your boss was onto something. But if this is a better job with a pay increase, and you, like, I don't see why.
And not, you already got it.
And you already got it. Like, I don't see why not to do it. And if you're worried about the next job, thinking that you are a short-term employee, stay at this next job for many years.
Yes, that. And I feel like you can always finagle a little bit the dates on your resume, like by like a couple months, you know?
Yeah, but a couple months like won't make a big difference. But I did think at first like your boss was being like kind of critical.
Me too.
In your mid-20s, you're figuring yourself out. 2 years is a long time.
I agree.
It's not nothing. So, but now I'm like, oh, maybe she's a soothsayer.
She was onto something.
Maybe she's a soothsayer because, yeah, then you're saying exactly what she was worried you were going to say. Like, it's not that interesting or stimulating.
Jackie's 100% right, though. Like, this isn't a problem right now. Like, you have a job offer, you got it, with more money, with a bigger role, so you take it. But if you can manage to stay at this particular job for like 3 years, I think you've eradicated the problem.
Yeah, you, like,
I never know if it's like a good or a bad thing if someone's resume has like a million different jobs. It's like, well, were you the problem? And like, you, or are you just like trying to snatch up as much opportunity as possible? You know, it's good and it's bad.
Yeah, I think that's a question you ask in an interview, and I think that there are right answers and wrong answers. Yeah. You know, like, you are young, maybe you're still trying to find like exactly what you want to do, but then it leaves it open to being like, okay, well, maybe this job isn't what you want to do either, and we're going to be screwed in a few months.
Yeah.
But that's why there's references, right? Can't you call and ask past employers?
Yeah, but also take the job.
Take the job.
Unequivocally take the job.
Take the job, but definitely keep this in the back of your head.
Like, you don't want to be perceived as like a homie hopper.
Yeah. So, I think honestly, her giving you that perspective is really helpful.
Yeah.
Because I would never have really thought of that.
Me neither.
So take the job. Congratulations. And also realize, like, not every job every day is going to be exciting and stimulating and like,
yeah, a job.
All of those things.
It's important to always remember, like, you work for someone else. Like, a job is a means to an end. It's how you go on vacation and enjoy your life and go out for drinks with your friends. It is not, for some people it is. Some people it's their purpose. But if it's not, like, that is okay. Like, having a 9-to-5 job that you don't love, but that, like, affords you the luxury to pay your rent, to live a life that you, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's amazing when you find a passion. But I think people like look down on it if you don't. And I actually don't. Like, if your job just gets you by, that is a blessing. And not everyone has that. Like, I think that's okay too.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So don't forget that.
I think if you're expecting something from jobs in general that might not ever come, you're always going to be like looking to the next and the next, and not just like blooming where you're planted and being like, listen, I have a good situation.
A salary.
Let's make the most of it. I'm not going to, you know, be finding my joy and my passion and my excitement here, but that's okay. And I that's have what all the these other things in my personal life.
And hobbies and side hustles are for.
That's what 5 to 9 is for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, take the job. Congrats on your new job.
Yeah.
And thank you for writing into Dear Toasters, our weekly advice segment where we do our best to help girlies in need from work, from wedding, from cheating things. There's no problem we can't solve. No crime we can't find by dinner time. Somebody has started drilling in the unit next door, so we're going to wrap this up. Thank you so much for listening to the Toast and Melanie Morning Show. We deliver the fastest stories you need to know everybody to find on YouTube. Bye.
Bye. Love you. Bye.
What the fuck?